Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Ms. J.
Hey!
And I want to tell you guys, we got a very, very good guest today. And this is going to be a really good show. But before I go any farther, I'm going to ask Ms. J if she wouldn't mind taking the pleasure of bringing on our special guest.
Yes. You know, I love Michelle. So first of all, I'll say that. But she's just a great example of a lot of young ladies out there making great things happen. I'm so excited to have her on the show. And I think you guys are going to really enjoy this show. She got a great personality. It's going to be a great show. And I'm not going to talk about all the things she do because I'm going to give her opportunity to do that herself. But, Michelle, before we get started, tell the audience a little bit about yourself. Tell them who you are.
Okay. Hey, guys. Hey, John. Hey, Ms. J. I just want to thank you just for a second for giving me the opportunity to be on the show. I'm really happy to be able to answer everybody's questions and just kind of get the word out there for what I do and the mission that I'm on. About myself, long story short, I work for a all-black male, I'm the only female, marketing firm in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. We do marketing and development, development meaning that we train professionals into being better professionals, and we also incorporate our business into an ecosystem so that businesses are interacting with their communities and understanding what's going on so they can better serve their people. And working for them, I decided to start my own company, which is called The Femme Effect, in which we train women in leadership, and we also train companies on how to deal with women in leadership and those types of things. And then we also have a nonprofit called Women Transforming the Valley, which is an organization that is mainly – we started that organization mainly to increase the self-love in women and young girls. As a female myself, I struggled with loving myself for a very long time, so I wanted to do something that helped that particular part of growth with females. In Just, that's pretty much what I do. I'm also president of the Eastern Arts Academy School Board in Eastern Pennsylvania. And in my free time, I like to jog. That's about it.
Yeah, the artist.
Yeah, so, yeah, I do poetry, too. Yeah, I forgot about that. Sometimes you just start thinking about the things you do and you just can't remember. But I recently got into poetry a couple years ago, and I'm now publishing a book full of poems. So that's been interesting to deal with that. I've done spoken word a couple of times, but I'm more of a behind-the-scenes person when it comes to that.
Absolutely. Well, it's obvious that you're multi-talented with all the things that you're involved in. Well, we're going to talk a little bit. I want to talk a little bit more about the nonprofit. You know, women transforming the valley. Is that correct?
Yes,
when
correct.
When you and your girlfriends, and shout them out, hey,
yes,
ladies.
Yes, Eve Edwards and Tiesa Foster. Those are my partners. Yes, and
that's
Stacey
right.
Lopez is also on our board.
That's right. I want to give everybody their shout out.
Yes.
When you ladies got together, and I know you talk about your personal struggle. When dealing with these young ladies, what are some of the things that you guys see? Like, sometimes when I'm talking to other people, I see myself. You go, like, wow, I remember when I felt like that, or I remember when, you know, that happened to me. You know, when you're, you know, talking to these young ladies, do you see yourself? What are some of the different challenges you see with these young ladies?
I mean, to answer your question in full, I mean, I see myself, I see my sisters, I see my nieces, I see my coworkers. I see, you know, you see a lot of different types of struggles, which is why, for me, the most important is self-love, because when you have self-love, you know, you have an appreciation for the physical, psychological, and spiritual growth for yourself. And that pretty much encompasses everything, you know, your esteem, your respect for yourself, your respect for others, knowing your worth. And if you don't have a healthy amount of self-love or don't know how to get that for yourself, then I don't think that you can find true success in life without it. So I see that lacking in a lot of young girls these days, between social media and expectations and, you know, the dynamics of the family changing, you know, within these generations. It's difficult for women to know where they are and how to handle, you know, these new challenges. You know, you see your grandmother who, like my grandmother was at work, you know, she stayed at home. She didn't work. She didn't drive. You know, for my mom who drove, and then, you know, for the first probably 20 years of her marriage, she didn't work. And then she went to a full-time job. And then I look at my sisters who are all single mothers who are doing it by themselves, you know, and their baby's fathers aren't around. So you have that dynamic, you know, change in the population, and it weighs down on women, I think, from my perspective.
Yeah, it's a lot of times, too, us as women, too, we have a tendency to try to live according to what people think of us instead of trying to be true to who we really are. And we're caught up, you know. And like you said, it is a lot of pressure, you know, especially for young women. You know, this new generation, you guys are advanced in some ways as older generation of women and people, you know, but and then too, there's so much that we can teach each other because it's so much is still the same, you know, they're men, they're still dogs, you know, I'm
not
dogs, but they're mad brothers, but they're, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to fight John later. I'm just saying, they're still, you know, dogs out there, they're still good brothers out there, they're still, you know what I'm saying? What, you know, and you still have the same challenges. We're still picking. Everybody got to have a rough neck. You know, we still got some of those challenges out there. And not knowing what to do when those relationships go bad and how to nourish ourselves and you know, and get ourselves back on our feet before we jump into relationships. Is that something else you guys talk about? Because I think that's a big thing, too, that we jump from relationship to relationship. We don't allow ourselves no healing time.
Right, yeah, and I mean, that is a part that I see myself in. I mean, I was pretty much in on and off relationships from, I'd probably say, like, you know, high school all the way up till, like, you know, I got divorced when I was 31, and I ended up having to stay single for a very long time in order to get my, you know, my ground. But between dating and relationships, financial readiness, you know, healthy body image, a good amount of self-esteem, those are all things that we talk about in our classes. We also talk about how to deal with leadership, how to deal with, you know, some of the situations that you're going to come across as a female in leadership. For me, 90% of the time that I've walked into corporations, you know, the first thing that they see, not only the color of my skin, but they see the fact that I'm a woman, and it automatically is, you know, she can't handle it, or, you know, and then when you can't handle it, you know, you're known as a B, you know, because you can handle the job and you know what you're doing and you handle your business. So we definitely talk about dating and relationships, but a lot of it is more so just knowing yourself and knowing your self-worth, and I think that that's where it starts, you know, to be able to effectively manage your life in all aspects, whether it's finances or dating or any of those things.
I'm glad you guys talk about body image.
Yes, we do.
Because a lot of women, you know, if they're a little thicker, they feel a little shyer, a little self-conscious, and I think owning whatever you're working with is the key.
Right.
You know, and I think we got to get comfortable with that because everybody's not going to be a size 12. Everybody's not going to be a size 2. Everybody's not going to be a size 5 or 7, 12, whatever the sizes are. So there's going to be some 16s, some 18s out there, some 22s, mm-hmm. You know, but you got to own it.
Yeah.
And I think that we we like you said, these television, social media telling you supposed to look like Beyonce, so everybody's buying Beyonce's weave. You know what I'm saying? You know, getting they pumping stuff in their body to get body parts certain ways, and you know, because we just so fascinated with what we are not, instead of embracing what we are.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that we had, one of the first things that we held was like a Love You Luncheon, and one thing that we talked about was, you know, we can give compliments to other women all day long. Man, your hair is great. You look pretty. Man, you nice body. Look at her. You know, look at them shoes. But, I mean, how often do you really look in the mirror and tell yourself that? You
right.
know, and one of the exercises that we do is we have the women get up and talk about, you know, three things that they like about themselves. And you would not believe how long it takes some people to really think about the three things that they like about themselves. And it gets interesting because sometimes you see, like, some people go straight to the physical. I like my hair. I like my lips. I like my feet. And then some people go into the mental, you know. So it's a really good exercise for us. I mean, it's one of our exercises. But when we first did that, it really shocked me because, I mean, I know it took a while for me to get here, but I can name a million things that I like about myself, you know. And I feel like everybody has the potential to be great, so everybody should feel that way about themselves. Every day you look in the mirror, there should never be a doubt that you can succeed and you can do it. And
that's right.
Whether you're a 22 or a size 2, like, you can still be successful in life and have the life that you want for yourself.
That's right. That's right.
You know, Michelle, I want to ask you a question. You mentioned, you know, you're the only female working in the organization with all males.
Yeah, I am.
Is that challenging to you?
Well, let me give you a little bit of background. I actually started working in a male-dominated industry very early on. I started in real estate, and then I went to construction and engineering project management. So I was pretty much around males all the time. The only females that were in the office were in accounting or pumping out reports. So I've dealt with that dynamic for a while, and it was something I had to get used to. But the firm that I'm working for now, like with the guys, Tyrone and Kevin and Steph and all them, it's not really difficult because they understand my position, and, you know, they have wives or they have, you know, sisters and they have daughters, you know, so we don't really have any kind of rifts or anything about me being a female. There are some things, obviously, that, you know, when we first started working together, you know, my mind works differently than theirs. You know, I'm thinking details, they're thinking big picture, you know.
right.
A lot of it was just kind of like, okay, like, you know what, instead of looking at these as differences, you know, why don't we look at them as assets within each other? So, you know, when they need something, you know, that has detail involved or whatever, and, you know, they want me to look over it or whatever, you know, they realize that that's an asset, not a downfall, and, you know, vice versa. I mean, a lot of big picture stuff for me, I would have never started Women Transforming the Valley if it wasn't for the guys, because they encouraged me, you know, to do something for women, you know. They have a nonprofit themselves where they work with, you know, young men and development of, like, you know, youth in our area. And I started thinking to myself, well, you know, if they're doing it with the, you know, the young boys, well, who's doing it with the young girls? And, you know, so I started talking to some of the partners, and, you know, they said you should do something for women. So they've been very encouraging. The dynamic itself, like I said, it just took, you know, a little bit of time for us to realize that, you know, instead of downfalls, they're assets. But other than that, I mean, we'll all work great together. I couldn't be happier with working with them as far as being able to work with all males. Because coming from engineering, you know, it was a little bit different. You know, they're a little – when I go out in the field, you know, they're sexist, they're telling you can't do this, or they're whistling at you or whatever. I don't get any of that from the men I work with now.
But you know, tell the audience, you know, what to expect, you know, when they're in a situation like that, you know, because I'm quite sure a lot of women would feel uncomfortable, you know, working, you know, a firm full of males and they don't own this, you know, female. What to expect? Tell the audience what to expect when they, if they ever get into a situation like that.
Oh boy, that's rough.
Yeah, it varies.
I'm not going to specifically talk about the firm or engineering or anything, but just as far as expectations, you know, expect to be sexualized, expect to doubt yourself and your abilities because somebody else is, you know. That was one of my biggest things, was kind of doubting myself. Men do things in a different way because they're men and we're women. And it's not good or better or worse or bad. It's just different. So just expect to see those differences, you know, but just know how to handle them and view it as an accepted challenge that's going to make you grow versus, you know, something that's going to bring you down.
I had a great, well, I have to say, maybe I just get along better with men than women, because I did engineering when I first started off in Pasadena, and it was all men, because back then ladies were not engineers, you know, it wasn't wasn't that type of thing, and they treated me really good. I don't know, is it because they had wives and daughters, you know, or something like that?
Right.
But I didn't have any, and I was account manager, I didn't have any challenges, but that's why I say it varies, because I'm sure I've been in places like Bank of America, and you got men saying all kind of crap on the elevator on the way down. Lunch, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean,
you know.
So
I think it really varies with the men.
Right. Yeah, I was gonna say it doesn't really, you know, say I haven't been around it. Like I said, when I was doing construction engineering, you know, I go out in the field, and you know, they're whistling, or you know, what are you doing here? You know, but back at the office, I really had no problems once they recognized my talent. But the firm that I'm working with now, is I guess I do probably get along better with men. I mean, they kind of look at me like one of the guys at this point. You know, it's not even like any kind of difference as far as, oh, well, you know, Michelle's the girl, let her do, you know, the decorations or whatever. You know, like we all jump in and we all handle the task just the same.
Yeah. That's a good question, John. But I really think, too, like I say, piggyback on Michelle, for any young lady that's out there in these fields that are supposed to be dominantly, you know, man or just for men, go for it. You know, because if you're out there doing that job, that means another young lady can do that job. Just like Michelle, you know, like she jumped in there. She didn't say, oh, it's a bunch of dudes and I'm not going to do this. She said, look, I'm talented. I got skills. Here you go. And you got to be that way as well. You go for it. You may run into some jerks, but then you might make great friends. I've made some great male friends that are still friends to this day. So you can make some good friends too. You know, everybody ain't shady, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
More gossip when you work with a bunch of, I said I would never want to work with a bunch of women again, cuz a bunch of women in the office is a mess.
I hate to agree with you on that, but yes, that's been the case for me too, which is one of the other reasons why, you know, Women Transform the Valley and organizations that are like that are important, because, you know, if you really love yourself and you really respect yourself, you're not going to want to come after another female. You're going to want to uplift her. You know, every woman I see doing something good for themselves, you know, I got a hashtag Rise Up Queens, you know, like I want everyone to succeed. I don't feel like, you know, well, she has a better body, or she has more talent, or she has better education, or any of those kind of things. But women tend to do that because the self-esteem factor. You know, they don't have enough self-esteem to know their words, so they are going to downplay somebody else to raise themselves up. And that has to change in order for us to really be successful.
And I think not so much, and I give a little bit, they may have a little self-esteem, but I think just a little, but I'm going to tell you why I think so. Because sometimes I think people do what other people do. You know what I mean? Like, Lisa and Johnny don't like her, and they in the kitchen whispering, and you going, oh, she likes that? We piggyback. We don't give people opportunity to prove who they are to us as individuals. We listen to what other people tell us somebody should be or somebody is.
Yeah, and I think a lot of
that
is women's nature. Yeah, I think that's a woman's nature, though. You know, like I don't think that's anything we choose to do. Because even me as a, you know, considered to be a strong woman, like I still have those moments too. You know, where I got to draw myself back and say, stand for yourself. What do you believe in? You know, what is your opinion of this person, or what is your opinion of this situation versus what everybody else is saying?
I learned that a long time ago. Yeah, because I was on the wrong bandwagon one time. And it was quite, and I was like, whoa. And then they tried to throw me under the bus like it was all my idea. I said, oh, okay, that's how we rolling, all right. But once you learn, you start saying, I'll pick my own friends. But I always give opportunity. Like we've had people, like, even, I know I have, well, they'll email me or John or somebody or somebody tell us something, and I'll say, well, you know what, let me find out for myself. Because sometimes your energy don't work with somebody else's, but that energy, I may work well with that energy. So I don't want to assume that we're going to have that same type of relationship.
Right, yeah. And that's kind of where I stand, too. It did take a while for me to get there as well. I can't really pinpoint an age, but it just kind of happens. You know, I don't know if it's a maturity or just experiences, but especially when you're starting to work in, you know, an office or something like that, and, you know, banter is going on, and, you know, I think when you're young, it might even just be fun, you know? Like, it's just like...
Oh, you
want
to know.
Like,
you want to know.
I definitely wasn't a pillar of my community as a child. I won't even lie about that. But that all had to do with self-love and self-esteem, to be honest with you. My esteem wasn't there. I didn't care about myself enough to care about the things that I was doing, and it stopped me from succeeding in everything that I try to do, no matter how hard I try to do it.
Yeah, self-sabotage is big with us, too. Not only relationship, but our professional lives are... We do that quite well, and I think at least a lot of women that I've talked to and dealt with, you know, we're quick to block our own blessings and not even knowing it, and it's, sometimes it's not even intentional, it's just stuff and not knowing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk about L, I can't even say it.
LBF.
Yes, Lord help me.
It's Lehigh Valley Faces.
You know what I'm saying? They laugh at me, but it's a long story. Anyway, but I want to talk about that bridge, that, you know, what, that community bridge with business, between business and community, because, you know, I think that's major, because a lot of times businesses say, look, I'm running a business. They don't include community or think of community. How, you know, what made you guys do that? Or was it already in place? And what is it really about?
Long story short, Tyrone and Kevin, Tyrone is our CEO and Kevin is our chief operating officer, and Brandon is also one of the co-founders. They weren't actually grew up in the Lehigh Valley where we do business at. So when they came here, you know, they had different experiences with community and people helping them and so on and so forth. And when in the process of developing the firm, they realized how important it was to be involved in the community, because the businesses that we do business with are the ones that are affecting the community. So if we're not giving them the products that, you know, the people in the community will utilize and is best for them, then the businesses aren't going to be successful either. You know, so it's just going to be a continuous vicious cycle of the businesses not fitting the needs of the people, and the people continue to be dissatisfied. But on top of that, we also have a nonprofit called R2C2 where we do a lot of community work, and we actually have a community bridge program where we invite professionals to come out to different schools and talk to the kids about their profession, and, you know, give them an opportunity to talk about their experiences and things like that. So we've incorporated the community pretty much in every aspect of the business, whether it's actually the marketing and development side or if it's the nonprofit side.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool, too, and that's why I joined the firm. I mean, I was literally about to go back to engineering, and then a gentleman that I met at college, Richard Allen, he turned me on to them, and I just fell in love with what they did and, you know, just their flow and their vibe and, you know, the fact that even when they're working, they're always thinking about, you know, who it's going to affect and how and, you know, the future. And next thing you know, I was on board, so.
Yeah, that's really major.
Michelle, that is really good, because businesses working directly with the communities, and we need more of that in the communities. Because one thing I do notice, and I've talked to, well, me and Ms. J both, and also I, talked to many organizations and many people, regular people in the communities. And that's one thing that's lacking, you know, is the businesses, you know, going to the community meetings and introducing their products, letting people opportunities that they may be able to get in that business. What type of education you're gonna need, you know, in order to get in that type of business, you know. And that is really good. I really appreciate you guys doing that.
You
yeah,
always talk
I mean,
about that too, John. John always talks about that, you know, the businesses, you know, he really get hard on them 'cause about the liquor and stuff. But I was watching a commercial, and they were saying that in the urban communities, they got more cigarette signs posted in these stores than anywhere else. And I was, a lot of people don't realize that they're only supposed to be a certain distance from the school. And I know schools where the liquor store right across the street with all them cigarette signs, right across the street from elementary schools, especially in L.A.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
You know, and see, if we knew stuff like that, the parents should get together and say, hey, you need to change this. Put some juice boxes up. Do something. You know,
right.
We got to know what's our rights, and then we got to speak up, you know,
mm-hmm.
because like John always says, we don't own the businesses in our community anymore. And we
right.
really need to start doing that. I mean, we need to be more self-sufficient in that manner. You know, I really do, but we do have to speak up. We really do.
Right. You hit it dead on the nose because right in our communities, like you said, you're going to find Marlboro's, 729, you're going to find a six-pack of Miller's Light for so much money. But there's never no signs in our community, become a welder, you know.
Right,
become
yeah, a, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We got to start putting more positive signs on those walls, you know, in our local community stores, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, hey, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, just to kind of touch on what you're saying, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Newark or even L.A., like one of those major cities like that. I mean, it's either chicken and beer on every other store. You know what I mean? Like every other block you're seeing chicken or beer, you know, it's like, and the way they're looking at it is, you know, from a business perspective of, we know we can sell to this community, but who's in those communities? You know, you're talking about impoverished people who don't have a choice. You know, if you want some fast food, you know, you go to the inner city or you go to the south side. You know what I mean? You're not going to go to the north side, you know, typically where, you know, most people who have a higher income, you're not going to see a McDonald's on the north side of town. You're not going to see a
right.
cigarette signs. You're not going to see a liquor store. You know, these major corporations, which is why I will never work for one again, these major corporations, we're just numbers to them.
Yeah,
you know,
they target marketing.
It's target marketing, yeah. And I mean, I work in marketing, so I totally understand that aspect of it, but you have to think about who you're affecting and what the future of that community is. Because those people are the ones who are going to be leading America at some point. Whether they're leading America by working at Walmart because that's what they want to do, or whether they're, you know, like us and being entrepreneurs, either way, they're going to be out there, and they don't think about that. You know, they're trying to just hit goals. That's
right.
The bottom line.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
It's like we don't have a future. Like, well, we know what they're going to be when they grow up, so just get them that liquor and give them some smokes. And I ain't trying to be funny, but cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
I saw somebody buy a cigarette the other day, they cost $7. If you got to pay $7 for a cigarette pack of cigarettes, that is some deep stuff. That's expensive. I added that up for a year. I mean, you could buy a car. That's not cute.
Mm-hmm.
That's too much.
No. No, and I mean, a lot of that's generational, too, or just being in situations where you're around people who are smoking cigarettes, people who are, you know, you're in that situation, so you're a product of your environment for the most part. And just like you said, you know, when you see these signs all over the place, I mean, you think that's the norm. You think that's what you're supposed to do. And when you don't know any better, you've never stepped outside of it, what are you going to do? You're going to do what everybody else is doing or what's put in front of you?
It's brainwashed to me.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I think that's just me personally. Okay, I think our community leaders should that. That's just as much as their fault as the store owners. Okay, because they are in position to, you know, to control that. I'm not saying, you know, it's going to be people going to drink, it's going to be people going to smoke, it's going to be people that buy crazy stuff. Okay?
Mm.
But at the same token, we want to kind of like put a balance on there,
right?
You know, the balance. And if we can just get it to a balance, well, then you give that little guy in the community, that young man or that young woman, the opportunity to make that choice, you know?
Right.
But right now, not making a choice. And I got one more thing to say. I wanted to let the audience know, if you guys want to either ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1 and I'll let you in. Go ahead on.
Okay.
Michelle.
Hey, Michelle said, okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm already in. I told you I was nervous. I meant it. but, yeah, I mean, being in marketing kind of, you know, you see the back end of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've been in business pretty much since high school. I've always been, you know, a business-oriented person. So, like, I've seen that, and I totally understand the numbers. But, you know, as I grew older and, you know, I used to smoke cigarettes. I had an alcohol problem. I mean, you know, back in my, you know, young, what is that, 19, 20, I don't say a problem, but you go through that phase or whatever. But a lot of that was because, you know, number one, you're a product of your environment and the people you're around. And when you don't grow up with money, a lot of people do that to pass time. They sit around and smoke cigarettes
yeah,
and drink beer. You know, it's what you do to pass time. You don't have any money to do anything. So as I got older, I realized, you know, that that wasn't something that I wanted to do or the person I wanted to be. And I stepped outside my comfort zone. And that's when I moved to Atlanta and I kind of went out on my own and discovered a whole new world. But a lot of people don't have that opportunity. So, John, you're right. It is up to the community leaders to step in and say, hey, this isn't right. And, you know, go in and talk to these kids. I mean, one of the biggest things that we talk about at pretty much everywhere I work, whether it's LVF or WTV or the Femme Effect or even the school, is it takes a village. I mean, that is
right.
The most profound quote I've ever heard, you know, and it sticks to me every single day. I think about it. It does take a village. I know when I was growing up, like, poor or not, you know, like there were still neighbors outside that, you know, don't do that or that, you know that they were going to go tell your mom or whatever and you just don't do that. You know, you don't really have that nowadays. You know, now it's just like every man for themselves and you don't even know your neighbors and all that. So community leaders as well as the people in the community themselves really need to take control back of their environment.
Right. That's right. Because, you know, like, I think that, like I said, just me personally, you know, the way I feel about it, I think the our community leaders have an obligation to protect communities, you know, from being misled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, like you said, you know, we got to protect the future of our young children. You know, they're going to be lawyers. They're going to be doctors. They're going to be, you know, city councilmen and mayors. And we got to protect them and give them that opportunity to make that good choice for them to become somebody great.
Right. That's true. That's true. But I want to piggyback on that. But the community, too, got to help that leader. Because
right, exactly.
You only can do so much without the community backing you. And
mm-hmm.
I want to say that in all fairness because I'm on both sides of the coin. And you can set up something to better your community, but if that community don't come out and support you, you are fighting a war by yourself. And it's much difficult. It's way more difficult to fight that type of war by yourself. So it has to be the community leader with the backing of that community because
mm-hmm.
he or she cannot do anything without that support.
Yeah, I
That's
definitely
right.
agree with you there, Ms. J. And another thing, too, with the community leaders is that, you know, sometimes you have to use a different angle. You know, you might go in with one angle, you don't get the support, and you know, you sit down, think about it, let it marinate, process
right.
it, and come out with a whole other angle, and it might just get them, you know. So, you know, when you really want to get it done, you sometimes you just got to change that angle up.
That's
so
right.
True.
That's right. You know, I agree. But you know, there's another thing that you did, Michelle. You were when you was in college. Well, then you got to get you started giving an events to bring the community together, and you know
mm-hmm.
to the communities, the people in the communities. What type of events was you getting? What was you doing to bring these
man.
People together? You award? The Prism Award?
Yeah, the Prism Award goes to, I'm trying to remember what it was, man, because I literally take, and people laugh at me, but I take all the awards and stuff that I get and I put them in a suitcase so that when I'm like 85 and I don't remember like anything I did in my life, I could just pull it out and look. so I can't remember exactly. I'm real with it, but it's basically they recognize a student or an organization who is kind of like the rainbow, you know, the person who's bringing in, you know, outsiders and bringing the college community together. And I won that in 2015. And then one of my friends, she actually won in 2016. As far as how it started, I was sitting in a student life office working as an administrator, and a girl came in and she had a short skirt on with a sheer thing over it. And it's like, are y'all hiring? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, like, where is she trying to get a job, you know, like with this outfit, you know? So we started talking and all that. And I decided, you know what, let me do a professional fashion show, you know, something that will be fun and entertaining for the kids, you know, because, you know, when you're 18, 19, those are things that are fun. But that will also be able to kind of teach them on how to transition from high school into being an adult. So I got with a couple of different places, like, you know, Men's Warehouse and White House Black Market. And we did a fashion show. And then from there on out, it was just pretty much, it just kind of started rolling, you know, from soup kitchens and, man, I can't even remember. It's just so many of them because it was like pretty much every other month. Like, you know, we had girls' night out, we had guys' night out, we did paintball. But the whole point was really to bring those minority communities together and create something so that I really wanted to show that everybody could stand together and make something happen. You know, that we didn't have to do things separately. Because I don't know if you noticed, but there's like the Black Caucus. You know, in colleges, you got the Black Caucus, you got the African American Club, you got the, you know, the Hispanic Club versus the Puerto Rican Club. And it's just like, you know, to me, it was like all the same, you know. Like, we're all fighting for the same reasons. So I just wanted to do something that would to bring everybody together. And when you're dealing with college level kids, you know, they really just want to have fun. But you can take that fun and incorporate it into something educational, too. So. Between the fashion show, you know, going to trips, going to New York, going to the, you know, the History Museum, African American Museum in D.C., stuff like that.
So, cut the short story short, but I want to elaborate on something. The young lady that was dressed inappropriate for the job that she was applying for, Michelle's kind of humble, but she took the time to tell the young lady, you know, that she needs to, you know, change her clothing and what she needs to do when she applies for a job. And I want to say that's so important because a lot of times we don't take the time to talk to each other. We talk about each other instead of talking to each other. And I want to make that point that it was valuable for her to take that time to tell that young lady that because somebody else would have just talked about her. And I think we got to learn to take the time to talk to each other and educate each other and just be cool about it instead of talking about each other. Because we ain't never going to solve nothing doing it the other way. So I think that was invaluable, and you left that out. But I think that's major because you could have just let that baby hear his application, and they would have thrown it away. You know what I'm saying? But you took the time to let her know, look, you need to do this, X, Y, Z, and, you know, and this is not, you know, appropriate. We need to be able to talk to our young ladies and let them know, you know, that's not appropriate. Let me show you. But give them an answer. Don't just talk about them.
Yeah, she was actually in the fashion show later on. She actually ended up being a model in the fashion show.
See?
You know, but I think it is important to discuss those kind of things because you don't know if somebody doesn't tell you. I mean, if at worst you try to educate somebody, you know, they don't want to hear it, fine. I mean, I, as a trainer, as a person who does this kind of work, I get educated myself, and I can't value you as a friend if you're not going to tell me about myself. And I think, you know, and I don't want to get all religious, but, you know, we're all God's children, so we should all be friends to a certain extent. So I want to make sure that I tell everybody, not necessarily the raw truth, but at least enough to what they need to know that they're doing to improve themselves, you know.
Be your sister's keeper. That's what I say.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Brothers, too, man. I tell them, too, and just like I expect them to tell me, too. I mean, you know. The guys tell me sometimes, you know, my problem really is, like, I lose focus sometimes. And sometimes my, you know, my CEO, Kevin Green, he'll tell me, Michelle, you know, focus, you know, just get focused. And at first I used to get mad. I used to get so mad. Like, why are you telling me this? You know, because the truth hurts. You don't want to hear it. You know, I'm pretty sure even you know, the young girl, I'm pretty sure she didn't want to hear that. You know, even looking at her face, if I think about her face right now, she kind of has that, like, you know, who the hell do you think you are face, you know. But later on, she appreciated it once she let it marinate, you know. But if nobody's speaking those truths to you, then you're never going to be able to grow.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. You know, and I wanted to say this year that only, you know, we got to be real with the young ladies. We have to be real with the young guys too, with the young men. And the reason for that is because a lot of our young men, you know, they would go look for a job, you know, and, you know, dress inappropriate. And a lot of time that's why they don't get the job. And especially these days, you know, in your major city, the biggest problem for young ladies and young men to get a job, they can't pass the drug test because the marijuana law done passed and they think it's okay. But whenever you go to a decent job, well, then they're going to give you that drug test and they look and see if you have marijuana in your system. You know, and so you have to let, you know, people, our young girls and boys, you know about that. You know, be careful. If you're going to go look for a job, if you smoke, and I prefer you not smoke, but if you are, well, if you're looking for a job, you got to clean yourself up, and it takes $30 days.
See, John, I was wondering why he was hating on the marijuana. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
they know how to get clean and everything. No, so if you young people want to get clean before your test, call John. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, I was a substance abuse counselor, and I majored in drugs and alcohol.
Okay.
Not much, but a little bit.
Want to get clean? Call John.
That's it.
But I mean, if you think about it though, man, like all the whether it's men or women, I mean, that literally all boils. And I hate to keep touching on that subject, but it all boils down to self love, man. If you know, like I always tell them, be mindful of what you do, focus on your needs. You know, take good care of yourself, set boundaries. You know, protect yourself, evaluate the risks. You know, forgive yourself and live with purpose. Those are seven things I always talk about in my classes. And that applies to everybody. And if you're doing those things and you have a healthy amount of love for yourself, then you'll know to make sure that you're dressed a certain way. You know, understand that if you're a smoker or whatever you do, you got to stop it for a certain period of time before you try to go get that job. I know plenty of people that will stop for a certain period of time, get a job, you know, and then they're off back doing their thing and they're very successful people. But you got to know how, you got to know to do that.
Yeah, you got to know
that's
the game,
right.
Basically.
Well, anyway, I don't mean to cut y'all off, but we only got a minute and 50 seconds left before we go off air. So, Ms. J, start closing this out.
Absolutely. This was a great show. I enjoyed talking to both of y'all. This was really fun. Michelle, if you had one positive thing that you would like to leave the audience with, what would that be?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for having me again. I really do appreciate it. As far as one positive thing, I mean, love yourself, man. You know, see your flaws, and you can either fix them or deal with them. You know, but just love yourself. Don't doubt that you can be great because it's within every single one of us. God did not make us to fail. So look at yourself every day and say that to yourself till you make it, and say it again after you make it until the day you die.
Oh, well, right on. That's true. All right, what can you say after that? Well, you know, first of all, thank everybody for joining us. We really do appreciate it. And some of you join us every week, and it's not overlooked. I just want to let you know we do appreciate it. And Mr. John L. Brown.
Well, I want to thank Michelle for coming on the show. Thanks for listeners for calling in and listening. You know, with that said, I'm going to give it back to you, Ms. Day.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. And together, we're going to make a difference. Peace and blessings. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.